I greet all of you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm always happy to be here and to see you and then your faces, and then knowing that you are in good health and strength, and then your smile, it is very good. And yes, once again, I want to say I greet you in the name of our wonderful Savior. At the same time, each time I come here and I join you in remembering the Lord Jesus Christ too. And that is also another plus for me. It's a wonderful thing. And we are given to me the passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 to 28, which we have just read. But in this particular passage, it is about the resurrection at the end time, the resurrection. When, for example, when will we get our resurrected body? I believe that all of us believe the resurrection. You all accepted this one. You embrace this doctrine. It is now become doctrine because we don't see. We have the people in the time past, during the time of Paul, during the time of Jesus Christ, they saw his suffering, his trial, his suffering, his death on the cross and then being buried. And the word buried is very important because that shows Jesus Christ died. His human flesh died. Jesus Christ died, buried. And then on the third day, he rose again from the dead. And then he appeared himself to all his disciples for 40 days. And there were people then there, and many of them have recorded it down. And then some of them are in the epistles, the letters, in the epistles, and then also in the Gospels, in the Acts, all this. And we have records, therefore, of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus Christ is alive, is still alive, and is now in heaven, awaiting for the time to come, to return to earth. And we shall see a little later in the passage which Paul has written for us here and then revealing certain things concerning us when he comes. There is important questions or questions that we often ask ourselves, and it will be revealed here. However, for the Corinthian church, there is a problem. This is a church that has a lot of problems. And thank God that Paul tackled those problems. So you have two epistles written by Paul to them. And then the sum of many things. And today it benefits us a lot. We can always read them and study for our own benefit. What is the problem in the church? There were some members of the church who believe that, who are teaching, some members or false teachers also teaching that that Christ did not rise from the dead. And some members also have embraced this teaching and then again shared with all fellow other members. This is the main problem. And Paul thought this is very dangerous. And in the earlier part of chapter 15, how Paul first of all declared the fact of the resurrection of Christ, giving proofs that not he himself, but the 12 apostles and at one time some 500 people have seen the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ was alive. Is alive and now in heaven. And Paul stated that fact. Foolproof. You cannot question about it. And then later on he tackled the problem. Why some of them say that Christ did not rise from the dead. And so Paul says that if Christ did not rise from the dead, then all your faith and my faith, even the faith of Paul, is in vain, useless. And all our sitting here every Sunday saying good things, all nonsense. That's what Paul said. We are still in your sins. We are still in our sins. And your faith, all no use. And the hope that you have is all nonsense. Nonsense. And then we came, and Paul resumed the argument of that Christ, of the fact that Christ is risen, is alive. So in verse 20 you will find, he said, but Christ is risen. He emphatically said in verse 20, he comes back to that part where he say in verse 20 that Christ, but now he says Christ risen from the dead. See, emphatically he said, but now he repeats again what is said in the opening verses of this letter. But now Christ is risen. He's not dead, he's risen. And become, and now he say one thing, and become the first fruits to them that slept. Here is this, something that is said about the Lord Jesus Christ. He became the first fruits. This idea of the first fruit is from the Old Testament, where the people of God, they harvest all their fields during the harvesting time. And then usually the first fruits, the first collection, the product of all the harvesting, during the harvesting season, the first collection, they bring it to the Lord. And so they separate it, sanctify it unto the Lord. And here, Paul became the, here Paul says, Christ is the first fruits of those that, of them that slept. So in other words, Christ was the first fruit of those that slept. This slept means people who have passed away. Christians who have passed away. So Paul is actually addressing Christians first. This part, this portion. And then for those who are Christians or members of the church who have passed away. But Christ is the first fruit. What? You see there, in the first part, he's speaking of the resurrection of Christ. There is resurrection. And the first fruit. What is this first fruit? First fruit in that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, never to die again. He has the glorified body. And then he's rising from the dead. His resurrection make a way for the resurrection of others who are in Jesus Christ, or for those who slept. You see, the first fruits, remember the things? Never to die again. When the Lord Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, the first ever man who rose again, never die again. Others have risen again from the dead. Lazarus is one of them, we have just read. But he was risen from the dead. Then he died again, no? Lazarus died twice. Yes. But Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, never to die again. And so he's rising again from the dead. We also, when we rise again, will never die. Will rise again, will never die again. And Christ has made this way. He was the first fruit because he has made this way. Now the question we always ask, we would ask, and I also would ask, when will I have this glorified body so that I will also never die again? When I die, many have said that absent from the body and present with the Lord. And do I have the glorified body? Not yet. So the question you would like to ask, I would like to ask. If you don't like to ask, I like to ask. And when? And so I read and study the scriptures. And I know when. And here also you will know when. And Christ and Paul will answer some of your questions here. Here Paul says very carefully here, he says that in a very general way, there is order. There is order for those who are for every man in his own. Verse 20, but every man in his own order. And then Paul would later kind of explains further here. But the first thing here, Paul says very clearly that Christ, therefore, being the first fruit, never to die again, having the glorified body, he's the first, very first one, and then he made the way for the resurrection of all Christians. And but when? As, of course, Paul further explained why this is so, he said, because in Adam, the first man, all died, because we have sinned against God. All died. But the second man, who is Christ, all will be made alive. All will be made alive. And then Paul says in verse 33, well, we are made alive. All will be made alive. Yes, even non-Christians will be made alive. But in his own order. In his own order. In other words, God has a plan. God has a plan for this world. For Christ, as he rule this world, his kingdom here. And then it must be going according to his plan. Alright, now what is it? Now, when Paul says here, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, he says again, correct? Christ is the first one. And afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. In other words, he gives us already the timing of our resurrection. And they that are Christ, that means they that are believers in Christ at his coming. When the Lord Jesus Christ will come again, then all of us will be like the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll have this glorified body, never to die again. Here's a book, find the book of Thessalonians, and those who are dead in Christ first will be raised up, and those who are alive, what about those of us who are alive, will be caught up in an instant, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Our whole body will be transformed, and we have that glorified body. Because we don't have that glorified body, we cannot live in heaven. But more importantly is that you have this glorified body never to die again. You live forever. And so when? At Christ's coming. Now Christ has not come. And therefore, this resurrection of our bodies is in the future. Until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the timing is that Christ already had the body, the first fruits, but all of us is in the future. Wait for the coming of Christ. Okay? You have that written for us at the coming Trinity. Now, verse 24, he explains to us God's planning. Why is it so? Then cometh the end when he shall have, when he, that means Christ, have delivered up the kingdom of God, even kingdom of God, of the kingdom to God, even the Father. That means in the end, when Christ comes, that will be the end. Jesus Christ will deliver up the kingdom. The kingdom in which that he is the head of the church, the king. And then everything here on this earth, he is supreme. He now Christ reign here. And at the end here, at the end of the world, when he returns, he will hand over, deliver the kingdom to God. Even the Father. That means God the Father. Now what does he say there? Look at verse 24. To God the Father. When he shall put, now God the Father shall put down all rule and all power, all authority and power. When he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. That means when Christ was delivering this, that kingdom must first of all, everything in that kingdom must be under the rule of Christ. Power, authority, and rule. They must all subdue themselves, in which God worked together with Christ. But God, through Christ, ruled this present world. That every authority, every power, every rule here will be submitted unto him. As Paul himself said in Philippians chapter 2, one day all people on this earth, all Christian and non-Christians, will kneel down before the Lord Jesus Christ and call him the Lord of Lords. And so it says here, and for he must reign. So Paul says, why? Because he must reign, Christ must reign, till he had put all enemies under him. And the last enemy, he says here, shall be destroyed, is death. The last enemy is death. Because death is the enemy of us. Why? Because we are sinful and then we must all die. And so the last enemy is death. And how to know, how to demonstrate that death is the last, how to demonstrate that death is destroyed. How to demonstrate that death is destroyed? By what? By the resurrection of those who are in Christ. See? So Paul is very clear. Everything is not controlled completely. Well, God will give Christ the rule, the authority, the power to subdue everything. And the last enemy will be death. And how to show that, demonstrate that? By the resurrection of the bodies of all the people. Now what up to that? You see, this is one thing that's revealed to us, that Jesus Christ now is ruling this world, and especially the church too. And God is working through him God is all-powerful. He's working through Jesus Christ. And until when Christ comes, when all these things have submitted themselves to Christ, then Christ will deliver the kingdom unto God. It goes on further, you see that. For he hath put all things under the feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, that means Christ is not, because Christ is above, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son himself also be subject unto him. This is God the Father that put all things under him, and the God, and that God may be all in all. So when Jesus Christ have subdued all these things and even conquered death, which is the last enemy, then he would deliver this kingdom to God the Father, that he may be all in all. Now this is a wonderful revelation for us, that Christ now rules this earth, God through Christ, the God-man, the mediator who ruled this earth. When he subdue everything, the day when he comes, and that's when he's coming, when he comes, and he has subdued everything, and then death itself, which is the last one, how? By the resurrection of the people. Then if that is so, everything is under Christ, Christ will deliver up the kingdom to God the Father, that God may be all in all. So back to the original where God rule all. Okay? So that is verse 20. And so you can understand? You understand this passage all? How, first of all, Christ is risen. And you and I will be raised from the dead. We and I will be made alive still. Only not now, it's been delayed. And why the delay? Because of this plan. And how can we be sure? Yes, we can be sure. Paul explained, you see, the first Adam all died, yes. But the second, but with Christ, which is the second man, all will be made alive. Christ will come. And how? Christ has already shown. He's the first fruit. And we will be made alive. But how will be the same as Christ? And that will take some time. It will take a time. But here it tells us, what is the time? At the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ will spell the end of this world, when death will be conquered, destroyed. How? By the resurrection of all believers. Also, unbelievers. Unbelievers will be after us, and they will be in. And this is revealed to us in Revelation chapter 20, when all great and small unbelievers will be raised up to stand before God for the judgment of all unbelievers. And then they will be found without Christ and will be cast into the lake of fire. So you have the timing already, the order. Now, what does this mean to us? First of all, our hope of the resurrection is certain. because Christ rose again from the dead, and Christ will be coming back. And Christ is not, as someone said, Christ did not rise again. And then Paul says emphatically, and then again he argues, he shows us, no, Christ is real. Christ has risen. He is the first fruit among all of us. Only ours is delayed. And he will come. And when he comes, this will happen. And so our resurrection, the hope of our resurrection is true. So you can be assured of that. Are you assured? Can you say that I will be resurrected? If you are a Christian, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you should be able to say, you can say, you dare to say. Do you dare to say? After this service, I hope you will go out and tell one another, I believe I will be resurrected. I will be resurrected. You see, even you must say, you must sometimes say it. Tell a friend, I will be resurrected. One day I witnessed my friend, I asked him, what are you? First of all, I asked a simple question, are you saved? He said, he doesn't know what is saved. Okay, you're not saved. Because you don't understand, you don't know. So every one of them, even the Roman Catholic and those who are others who are call themselves Christians, then they all don't understand and say they don't know. Then when I come to myself, then after I look at about you, I am saved. I'm going to heaven. Wow, how can you say that? He say you're very proud. I say no. I say this is what I have been taught. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I will be saved. And I will be, when Christ comes, I will have the resurrected body. Can you say that? Because many of us are able to say, well, I am a Christian, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a mental assent. No? You just give academic agreement. You just agree what the Bible says. But what I am saying is personal, really personal. I believe, I'll be resurrected. I will have the resurrected body like the body of Jesus Christ. And you must say with conviction. Are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ. On what day? And this day, on this day, on the 19th of January, 1938 or 39 or 40 or 50, I accepted Christ. These are all, it's an academic, intellectual, what is conviction? And so say this. Maybe there's one more step further. I will not die, I will live forever. I will have the resurrected body when Christ comes. You are so sure. You say, yeah, I'm sure. I know about it. I say, then you can live your life happier life than others. Because your hope is real. Every day your hope is real. And every day when you face all kinds of problems, or you're sad, despondent, or you're depressed, you face this kind of thing in your relationship and in this world, and you have this hope and this conviction, you can be happier. You can overcome these things. And your life can be happier than others. Should be. Because you have Jesus Christ. You are a Christian. A true Christian. Who says? Jesus Christ says. The Word of God says. Conviction. So you see here, one day you will hear Paul says very clearly the time. And of course, Paul gave us the time. In our time here, for us as Christians, our time, therefore, is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ was a reason then the coming. And the other times are those who are non-Christians. So all of us, we see, all will be resurrected. That's our hope, our comfort, our encouragement in this life. And so all whatever problems you have and I have, we can overcome them. No matter how difficult, yes, it will cause us to be sad sometimes, but we quickly, when we remember our hope, we overcome. We remember our faith in Christ and our love for others and the hope that we have, the hope of the resurrection, of having the glorified body. Really, one day you and I will have the glorified, the same body. Just put, say, the same body, but this body will not die. Now it is weak. This body will not die. Forever. So I encourage. I'm going to ask you, so when I look at you, I want to ask you again. Because you are all very quiet, okay, I don't want to make into this, say, may everybody say, no. I want to, why I say it again, in order to make sure, to ensure that if you are a Christian, you must know this and in your heart and remember it every day. Or not every day, but sometimes when you meet problems, now remember it. I will have this glorified body. Then you will be happier. Then your problems is only temporary. Temporal. It's not going to last you forever. Just like the other day, the Bible I read in, when Barzillai, the good friend of David, wants to follow David. David said, you come into to me again, and then I'll feed you. And Barzillai said, no use, I'm 80 years old. No need, no. I'm so old already. How long can I live? He said that, no, in the Bible. You read in 2 Samuel chapter 19. He say, I'm 80 years old already. I don't want. Maybe my son can go with you. He say, let me, for 80 years old, how long can I live anymore? And that's it, you see. You have this hope, then you are not afraid. Your problems, your troubles are all temporal. But you look forward because your hope is certain, definite. And Christ can come anytime. Now we know we have years come and Christ coming is soon. Maybe you are still alive and like when Christ come. And don't worry, you will not miss. You don't have to die first, then you will. You'll be raised up first. But even you have not died, you are still alive and Christ comes, you also will be transformed and changed in the twinkling of an eye. Instantly almost. And you'll be snatched up. The Bible uses the word snatched up, like a magnet. Christ has a kind of magnet that can snatch up bodies, not metal bodies, to meet him in the air. So you and I have this hope. I have this hope. Don't wait until you are 80 years old and, okay, I can have this hope. No, you are young. A young death meets us anytime. Whether you are young or you are old. And that one, I don't have to prove to you. Every day in newspaper, you can turn up to the obituary page
And O.R. is 97. But he's O.R. 53 only. And for this young man, different.
And so with this passage, it confirms we have the assurance of the resurrection. When? At the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even after we die, after we have died, before the coming of Christ, we will not have the glorified body. Although we are transferred, we are transferred into the presence of God. But when Christ returns on this earth, then we will all, those who are in heaven, not yet you have the glorified body, then you will have that glorified body. That is the order God has given to us. And Paul here revealed to us, so we have this hope. May we be encouraged, comforted, and strengthened. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. We pray, Father, what we have read here, we may understand. That we are assured of our own resurrection. And that will motivate us, Lord, to live a life happier than others. Live a life pleasing unto thee. And to live a life for thee. In spite of all the difficulties, the problems, and the troubles, awaiting your return. This we pray and thank thee, in Jesus' name. Amen. So in closing, let us sing hymn 200.